Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome into the Early Line. Live right here on Sports Grid on this Thursday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside, DRS. What's the word on this Thursday?
Feeling good on a Thursday. NFL, Kevin, back in our lives tonight. And there is one league that is locking out. But you know what? We're not going to lock anybody out here on the grid. We're ready to give out the information. Let's get after it, Kev.
Absolutely. Need to set the people up. But as Donnie mentioned, there's a lockout. And that is where we begin with our 7-7 top headlines. Donnie, Major League Baseball enters their first lockout since 1995. I almost wanted to make a statement and just leave this out of the headlines because baseball can be so frustrating at times. But it checks in with the top spot, Donnie. No baseball right now.
Yeah, it's great that because it sounds really big, doesn't it, Kevin? Like MLB enters the lockout when we know that nobody really cares about baseball once the season is done. So we'll wake up sometime around after the football playoffs and, you know, starting of March. Baseball is going to be delayed here. Oh, okay. What are they locked out? Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about it. That's what it sounds like here. That's what baseball does to itself. One of the worst run leagues from a player's perspective and also a league perspective. We'll get into that a little bit more later, but not good news for baseball locking out. But the fact that they're locking out in December, who cares?
Yeah, there's a lot of time for things to unveil. We'll talk about it a little bit. It's a big story. How big the impact? We'll get into all of that. We'll also talk a little bit about Notre Dame. They're continuing search for their new head coach with Brian Kelly's departure to LSU. And it looks, Donnie, like they might go in-house and elevate their current defensive coordinator, Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, this is an interesting one here. And it's not to say Marcus Freeman won't work out. It's not a fantastic hire for Notre Dame because we don't know that. But Notre Dame is in a position where they're at the plate and they can hire basically whoever they want, whether it's a pro coach, whether it's a high-ranking, you know, coach in college football. But when you're taking a look at a guy, and you brought this up last night on the air, Kevin, it's a guy that it's not like, hey, man, he's been around here for 17 years. He knows the lay of the land. He's basically the assistant head coach at this point. But this guy was just brought into Notre Dame. The reason I bring it up, because wouldn't it be different? Let's just say Dabo Swinney left to go to Notre Dame. Well, Brent Venables would take the spot. I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. He's been there a while. He's a heck of a recruiter, and he's known to do this on a big stage for years and years and years. We'll see if this actually plays out, and he's finalized as the head coach. But I got to say, Kevin, first look, kind of surprised by this one.
I don't disagree. I think all the things you laid out there don't make this a no-doubter. It also seems like maybe it's happening faster than it would need to if it's going to land on Marcus Freeman, but been around there for a year, and maybe it speaks volumes that this 35-year-old might be able to find himself as the next head coach of Notre Dame football here. Sticking with the college game, Don, let's talk about a couple spots in college basketball last night. I thought some real interesting results. One of them happening in North Carolina, where UNC dominates the Michigan Wolverines, who will no longer be a top 25 team in the country. 72-51, the final score.
Yeah, I don't think we expected this out of Michigan entering into the season. Now, there's such a long time to go. They're not even in the Big Ten play yet, but that was an embarrassing performance last night, Kevin. 72-51, you're hanging around the break. Hey, guys, let's make some halftime adjustments. What adjustments did you make out there, Juwan Howard? The only adjustment was that you got your tail kicked by 19 points in the second half. Michigan is too talented, Kevin, not to figure it out, but 4-3 Michigan to start the season, I didn't see that one coming.
Not with all those preseason expectations. And I'll have to say, a team in a similar boat right now, the Memphis Tigers, losers of two in a row and really competing for which one is a worse loss as the radio audience enters the fold. And appreciate all those tuned in to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you, breaking down the action from last night. Donnie, the Memphis Tigers, a double-digit favorite against maybe the worst team in the SEC, and they lose this game outright. And Memphis now showing, I think, their youth early season.
Yeah, there's a lot of youth on that team early season. And just because you get a couple superstars out of high school, maybe not gelling over the first month, but that's the good part about it. Like, we take a look at young quarterbacks in the NFL. Hey, he's no longer a rookie anymore, like Mac Jones, because he's played, you know, double-digit games now. Give these guys a chance. By the time they roll around the conference play, they should be a pretty good basketball team. Shocking loss to them, but sometimes it's good to lose that way early in the season. Coach can get after them a little bit, say, hey, guys, you want to lollygag around practice here and not, you know, put in your best efforts? This is what happened. So maybe an attention getter here for head coach Penny Hardaway.
Good point. Not high school anymore. We're going to talk a lot Thursday night football on our show. Amari Cooper will be back, it appears, for the Dallas Cowboys. A 4.5-point spread, a 47.5 over under. Excited to get into that. But I also want to make sure we have enough time to mention a couple of headlines from the NBA and one really important one, Donnie, for the Miami Heat. As their young star center, Bam Adebayo, is set to miss the next 4 to 6 weeks of action. They played last night without Bam and Jimmy Butler and lost by nearly 30 at home to the Cavs.
Yeah, they got smoked last night. 13-9 now in the season. One of those teams we thought would be able to contend for an Eastern Conference championship, and they probably still will because, again, the NBA is a long season. That's a tough injury here because you're not out, Kevin. 1 or 2 weeks like COVID would put you out here. You're going to be out possibly for 2 months. That's a devastating injury.
Looking to reset the current landscape in the Eastern Conference. We will do that later on in our show. And another part of that conversation will be an awesome game from last night. 127-125, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Charlotte Hornets. Two stars going toe-to-toe. Giannis with 40 in the win. LaMelo Ball, Donnie, checked in with a career-high 36.
Yeah, they were tremendous. That was a great game to watch. And somehow last night I made some money in the NBA on 3-point props. And I said to myself, Kevin, remind me here. Actually, I'm going to blame it on you. Remind me that I want to take some 3-point props in this Hornets Bucks game. Kevin didn't remind me. Just what he does. Doesn't look out for his co-host ever.
I'll tell you what, it's also my fault we lost to D'Angelo Russell live player prop because I traded that win for a Notre Dame storm back victory against the Marist Red Foxes. Come on back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on the early line. Who is Iona who beat Mac? I don't know what Notre Dame would be doing getting involved in the Mac. I'm a little rattled here early because I don't know what we're going to do. Baseball, locked out, the horror. Does it matter? I mean, I guess that's the question this morning, Donnie. It's a big headline grabber anytime you see the words lockout. I think what's so fascinating about where this stands right now is that it was clear and obvious we were headed this direction to the point where apparently the big meeting the two sides of the table had to try and avoid this lasted less than 10 minutes.
And the funny thing about it, too, Kevin, is if you're looking at all the sports here combined, do you remember when the NFL was in that lockout stage? It must have been about 10 years ago. This was, if we put a timestamp on it for us, it would be the Dream Team Eagles that came back after the lockout and wasn't such a dream team at that point. Like, we panic, and I panic as a fan. Like, there's no way. We miss NFL games. Like, I can't go on. I can't survive here. Major League Baseball locks out. And let's just say, Kevin, let's play it out because we'll get into the intricacies of what they're probably fighting over. But it's December. If there's no talks or press conferences, in nobody cares. January, nah. February, oh, pitchers and catchers that always tweet that. Oh, can't wait, pitchers and catchers. Who really waits for pitchers and catchers? Let's be honest. Spring training games are going on. Nobody watches spring training games. Trust me on that. So then when Major League Baseball finally is about a week and a half from the Major League Baseball season to start, people are like, oh, wait, we're not going to get baseball right now? So it might be a big headline right now for baseball to lock out because it is one of the four major sports. But locking out in December is not the same as we're going to lock out maybe March 1st when we're trying to get spring training underway.
I think what's so bizarre as we sit here to break this all down, right, Donnie, is that we're talking about, as you said, one of the four major sports here in the United States locking out. And the temperature is, they'll figure it out, I think. And if they don't, eh. I mean, like you said, Don, when will you go, oh, man, I miss baseball? July, when there's nothing else on, like, man, that's super unfortunate that I have absolutely nothing to watch right now. I guess we'll go bet on some soccer here. And I think, Donnie, that's all in some, you know, shape or form here, kind of the crux of this problem, just the state of Major League Baseball as a whole. Both you and I joked about it. Like, we're having to sneak into the headlines Max Scherzer finding a new team and Corey Seager getting over $300 million on a contract, because just the way it plays out isn't conducive to grabbing headlines. When the NBA goes into free agency, everything stops. There are people who, I know this to be true, and sometimes I fit this description. You're watching the NBA Finals and you go, all right, let's get this over with. I'm ready for the offseason. That's where things start to get a little wild. And there's these big shows, and everything about it has the pomp and circumstances to it. And it happens, Donnie, in the heart of the Major League Baseball season. And even then again, Major League Baseball can't compete for the headlines here. And you talk about, really, what's the sticking point overall? Well, it's what's always the sticking point, right? It's the dollars and the sense of it all, because baseball on the other side of the table, not the players, Donnie, is basically getting to a point where they're basically making the players obsolete. Select few, okay, you can't do without. But that's where these, you know, the Players Association is feeling bothered, Donnie, as if even your tier two guy now is just kind of being left off to the side.
Yeah, it's always been the major guys getting the big deal, and then you fight over the scraps at the end of the table. But there's a four major sports sports leagues in the country, right? Let's take hockey out of it, because I think you brought up a pretty good point here when we're talking hot stove. And this is true. You know me. I love baseball. I love to bet on baseball. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things to do. But I'm always under the what have you done for me now. What I mean by that is, let's go and say in preseason, when I look at the NFL and say, okay, let's start to get this fresh look here. June, July, training camps are coming up. Like, yep, they signed this guy. Yeah, I remember this guy. Okay, yeah, this defense would be good because they added a cornerback. Let's go to the NBA, as you point out. The free agency process feels like it wraps up in like 36 hours. It is a flurry. Big names move. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of millions of dollars. But the time the NBA comes around, like, we don't go like, ah, that's right, LeBron James on the Lakers this year. Forgot about that. You know, that's kind of interesting. Or, you know, somebody else moves. Or, oh, Giannis didn't get traded. I thought Giannis got traded in the offseason. We don't do that. But Major League Baseball, and again, me preface this by saying, I watch it day to day and love it. And I will open up the magazines, come around like March, and say, let me get familiar. Ooh, they added these two. I forgot they added these two pieces in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Seager and Simeon are down in Texas now. They're not with the Dodgers or the Toronto Blue Jays. It's the only sport that does it for me. And it seems like baseball does it itself, because there is that flurry. But a free agent signing in the NBA in like July, like, hey, training camp's going to ramp up in summer leagues, and it's always in your face. But the fact that baseball ends in November, there'll be some signings. You're going 4 and 5 months before saying, oh, I remember that happened here. Baseball's timeline is so off here, because we take a look at why the NFL, Kevin, is so successful and why it works. It's 365, 24/7, around-the-clock information that keeps you thinking about the NFL each and every day. Baseball doesn't do that. Now, the lockout, it'll be so far, Kevin, off our conscious, because nothing is going to happen until they agree to a contract, which isn't coming for months down the road.
And I think the truest impact right now that your bettors are seeing, Donnie, and you'll notice this on the FanDuel Sportsbook, odds to win the World Series are posted and nothing else. And that is because I don't think they're going to want to post, Donnie, it's kind of funny, you know, on FanDuel, on the bottom there, it has like these little descriptions, just in case you don't know what's what. And it mentions, you know, including odds when the World Series, AL Championship, and NL Championship. Because they never, Donnie, would have these listed without then the individual odds when the American League and the National League. But I think a big reason that they had to remove those probably right now is there's also questions around the expanded postseason. And obviously, if you increase the field, then a team's wiggle room is significantly greater, because now a high-level team that has a slow start is still likely to find water and get in. Also, though, more breathing room for surprise teams, Donnie. And this is a whole nother aspect of this, right? Not just, look, the state of Major League Baseball and whether it grabs our eyes, but truly doing things that make sense for the game. And we talked about the absolute bizarreness coming out of the pandemic season where it was like, all right, we had three monster changes. And when we get to extra innings, we put a guy on second. We're going to have universal DH and we're going to expand the postseason. And it was like, all right, what is everybody like? All right, so everybody seems really happy with the expanded postseason. Universal DH, pretty happy. Mixed emotions on the whole second base extra inning thing. And what stuck around, Donnie? Only the guy on second base in extra innings, which I'm personally a fan of. But I think that's one of the biggest things we're waiting on, Donnie, and it'll have a true impact when you're betting this, at least in the futures market, is if we get that expanded postseason.
You're right. And the expanded postseason is key because it's a twofold thing here. It's more money for Major League Baseball, which means more money for the Players Association. So it's crazy that that is actually a bargaining chip because there's no give and take in that, right? That's only a take-take for both sides, but yet they hold that out. The same thing with the DH. Like, why would the Players Union not want a DH? That's adding the National League another $20 million position that's not currently there. That should be easy to do. But my favorite one here overall, Kevin, is when you take a look at the concept and what actually makes sense. What do we fight over in Major League Baseball? As fans, the disparity in overall payroll. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about a team that, like, let's just say $265 million for the Mets, $30 million, it feels like, for the Marlins and the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the way to stop that, because what do we get mad at the trade deadline? A team like the Pirates, the Royals, or whoever was doing in the past, the Marlins, selling off their team every single year to the teams making a World Series, you know, appearance. Now, if you add more teams into the playoff picture here by adding the extra wild cards there, you know what that does? The team that's like, we haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. We have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs here. We're not trading anybody now. It's only smart for that to happen. More money and also more competitive fairness, Kevin. Make it happen.
Also, there's this idea that people might be able to choose their opponent in the wild card round. That's NBA-esque drama. It sounds crazy, but that's a good idea, and I'm into it. They should square off when they pick their wild card opponent, like a boxing fight, too. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on a Thursday, which means we'll talk a little Thursday night football. In New Orleans tonight, where the Saints host the Dallas Cowboys as a 4.5-point home dog. The total for this one is 47.5. And I think the big storyline around this game, and yeah, I know the Dallas Cowboys are on the field tonight, but it has to be Taysom Hill, Donnie. It has to be a New Orleans Saints team that was 5-2, lost 4 in a row. Trevor Siemian, the starting quarterback for all four of those losses. Yes, he led or was a big part of that victory against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And maybe not all of those losses his fault, but he certainly was a part of the issue for this team. And Taysom Hill last year was the guy in Drew Brees' absence, despite Jameis Winston being on the roster. And Jameis obviously out the remainder of this season, and who knows how long into next season. It's an opportunity for Taysom Hill to grow that contract to where he all of a sudden is making $90 million over X number of years because he is the franchise quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. I nearly hesitate to say all of this because it sounds ridiculous, but simply, Donnie, what are the expectations coming into tonight's game for Taysom Hill specifically?
Well, the expectations for myself would be quite low here, and that's not a bad thing because they can't get any lower than what they were for Trevor Siemian starting here for the Saints. If you just take a look at the past two games where they sort of bottomed out in offense, well, Donnie, they scored 29 points against the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, it was 109 yards on the ground, only 214 in the air, and they were down for most of that game, which you should be able to accumulate passing yards. And then you finally saw come to a crash here on Thanksgiving night when they had 44 yards on the ground, which was 1.8 yards per carry, and then 146 in the air. A change had to be made, and now that Taysom Hill is finally healthy, he should get the nod. But also, you have to keep in mind, if you take a look at Taysom Hill, he's going to have, what, a month and a half left, or basically a month left in the season, where he's going to have a tryout to see if they need to make moves in the offseason for a starting quarterback. And I'm going to say this again, Kevin. Like, when we talk about the New England Patriots and how they started their regular season. And I'm saying, like, hey, it looks like Mac Jones is going to be the starter. Wonderful stuff. Cam Newton can play a role. He can be a goal line package, come in for 5 to 6 plays a game and really make a difference and be a headache for an other team's defensive coordinator because they have to prepare for both sides. I always thought Taysom Hill is best served to be in the same role he is in now. You'd be a red zone target, play a little bit of tight end, you know, run some gadget plays with him because, again, you have to worry about him while you're preparing for the week. Now, if he's the starter, he's going to play all the snaps. You're not worried about a passing quarterback coming into the game because you're already ready for Taysom Hill's packages because he's going to be the starting quarterback. But how it works for tonight's game, it can only help here. If he's healthy, he should be able to move the football, at least on the ground. He's not a great passer, but that's not really the MO of what the Saints do anymore. There's no Michael Thomas isn't coming back. You know, no Emmanuel Sanders on the outside. No big-time weapons to deal with there. But you do have Alvin Kamara coming back in the equation tonight, as we expect. The same thing with Mark Ingram. So that ground game should be fired up pretty good. But overall, I don't know if it's going to make much of a difference here tonight, Kevin, because the Dallas Cowboys on the opposite side are getting healthy at the wide receiver position. They're just a better team overall. And I always use this key terminology, Kevin. Just don't outsmart yourself. Don't outsmart yourself. If you don't think the Saints are going to win this game, don't take them to cover the 4.5.
Yeah, and I think that's incredibly fair. And I think this is, again, a Cowboys team, as you mentioned, Donnie, that is going to be probably the healthiest they've been in some weeks entering this matchup, though it's tough to say what the workload for and Ezekiel Elliott will look like. Obviously, the report coming off of last week's Thursday night game that they're going to look to rest him over the back stretch here. Certainly, it shows a little bit of confidence in their lead in the NFC East. I think that's also just reflective of their confidence in a Tony Pollard, which is more than deserving. The interesting thing, you know, on a Taysom Hill, though, Donnie, is I look through his props here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the rushing number, right, for yardage, 36.5. He had 4 starts last year. He was over that number in 3 of those 4 games. His passing prop is 205.5. He was over that number in 3 of 4 games. And the one under was, remember the bizarre Denver game where the Saints played a non-quarterback? Yes. Denver Bronco team. I mean, again, basically a fake game, if you will. And then even Taysom Hill, Donnie's the anytime touchdown scorer market. I'm almost surprised that it's a plus 180 price. He scored in 2 of the 4 games. Ended up actually with 4 total touchdowns. I'm sure there will be people looking to take a price on a multiple touchdown game for a Taysom Hill, but especially, Don, for what we do, and I know we'll have a lot more time to break this down throughout our second hour where we really dive into the props market, but on its face, Donnie, are you going to be willing to back and trust a Taysom Hill in the props market tonight?
Not necessarily, and it's maybe it's just like an old school thought where you got to show me here. Like if you're just coming back injured, there's a really good chance that that playbook is not completely open. Maybe you're just healthy enough to start, but you're not in your normal rhythm here. And also keep in mind, it's not as if Kevin, like Taysom Hill's had, you know, decades or a decade at quarterback. Like, hey, he missed a couple weeks, he should be fine. This is a guy still learning the position in the NFL, and now he's going to be starting in a primetime game in a playoff race, which makes it a little bit difficult for me. So backing him probably like an anytime touchdown makes a little bit of sense here, but I probably be more interested in other running backs in this game, particularly Mark Ingram. If you're on the goal line, he's probably going to get the carry. And it's the same thing here if we're looking at a fully healthy Alvin Kamara with no restrictions. Who doesn't want to take a piece of him, Kevin? But him coming back still questionable for this game. If he comes in, is he going to be more of a decoy? Is he going to get 15 touches or 5 touches just to see him coming back into the fray? But the guy I always look at in games when I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys, and we saw it on Thanksgiving as well, Kevin, it's Ezekiel Elliott. Now, he's not 100% healthy. And again, this week, not really on the injury report, so he is going to play. As long as he is actually under, you know, decent health conditions, he's going to score. And I guess it's something with the organization where you paid him a lot of money. He's a well-respected player. Jerry Jones loves him. Whenever they get down on the goal line, like we saw it again on Thanksgiving, you know, Pollard does the work, just misses a touchdown that gets overturned to the 6-inch line. You know who trots onto the field with a bad knee? Zeke Elliott for a carry for 1 yard and a touchdown. He's a plus 115 tonight, Kevin, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Maybe his usage rate is lower, but his usage rate on the goal line, that's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense there. Like Pollard clearly during that game became the guy. Got them down to the 1 yard line. They're like, all right, come here, Zeke. Let's get you into the end zone, which is all you need in that game. You know, it's interesting, Donnie. I initially was going to ask, who needs this game more, right? Because you've got a Saints team that's looking to stop a four-game losing streak. You've got a Dallas team that's lost three of their last four. But does that question truly matter? Both teams absolutely need this game. But that's interesting to say about a Dallas Cowboys team, Donnie, when you consider where this group was just a few weeks ago. Looked like a legitimate contender for the one seed in this conference. They were 6-1. A win against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday Night Football without Dak Prescott. And they just haven't been right since. Dak came back against Denver, and we're like, all right, look, first game back. Denver was hungry for that game, and they got him. And then they absolutely house Atlanta by 40 points, and everything's fine. And then they go to Kansas City, and it was ugly. And they don't even muster up 10 points, and Dak's intercepted multiple times against that Chiefs defense. And then they play Vegas, and those underlying Cowboys defensive numbers, Donnie, were no longer underlying there, as Derek Carr almost threw for 400 yards in a game where there were over 100 pass interference yards left out there, and Vegas took them down in overtime, scoring 36 points. I mean, I got to imagine the hand is over the panic button if this Cowboys team loses what would be their third straight game here tonight.
Yeah, so the simple question here of who would actually need it more. I mean, theoretically, yes, they both need it, but it's 100%, Kevin, for me, the Dallas Cowboys. It really is. If you're looking from an organization, you could take the press out of it and just ask these guys behind closed doors, hey, Sean Payton, you think you guys can win the division and make a playoff run? Honestly, no. I'm just hoping that we get some good quarterback play and we head into the offseason to get healthy here. Mm-hmm. The Dallas Cowboys is boom or bust like it is every single year. They are in position to win the NFC East. They are the most talented team in the NFC East. So by the fact you're going to get into the playoffs if you win your division and get a home game, they think they can do damage and make a run, again, if everybody stays healthy. So it's simple for me. And again, heading into this game, I would be very surprised if the Dallas Cowboys lost this game tonight to the New Orleans Saints here. You're just a better overall football team, and you're finally healthy. Sometimes you buy a little bit lower on franchises where you could buy low on the Saints here, but you want to get in bed with Taysom Hill and a banged-up running back situation with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Not really for myself. Not many healthy-bodied wide receivers that can do damage for the Saints and also a tight end. I just look for Dallas Cowboys getting all their wide receivers back tonight. They should be able to win this one. And, yes, it should mean more to the Dallas Cowboys because I think they can make a run to the Super Bowl.
And I think if the Saints lose this game, it's like, well, yeah, they're dogs. Cowboys are the better team. It's just a season that unfortunately fell apart at pretty much, you know, losing Jameis was going to be a big deal. Never getting Michael Thomas back. The Kamara injury, obviously, Donnie, left them pretty much without any weapons. If the Dallas Cowboys lose this game, it's kind of sky is falling, in my opinion, around this team. Now, again, they can lose this game and still run away with the division. They still play Washington multiple times, but still play Washington multiple times. And who knows if all of a sudden that Washington team is playing better. Again, I don't really see a world where they knock on the Cowboys' door, but we're talking about where they lose this game. And I agree with you, Donnie. That would be a very surprising result to me if the Cowboys cannot take this one down. But truly, if they don't, there's going to be a lot of questions around that room because we know that Jerry Jones isn't going to sit there and be like, ah, tough part of the schedule. What are you going to do? You lose three in a row, four or five. No sweat off our back. No problem. You know, all involved here. And the other interesting thing that we didn't really get into, and we'll get into it a little bit more, of course, in our next hour when we break this game down a little bit more, no Mike McCarthy for the Dallas Cowboys. What does that mean? How does this impact the game? We'll break that all down, but we come back. It's Hot or Not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot or not time right here on Sports Grid. And as always, on a Thursday, we'll try and look at the highest and lowest scoring team going into this weekend's action here. And it is, to me, perfect The favorite to be the highest scoring team is a group that really, really could use this kind of a performance here, Donnie. Hot or not, the Los Angeles Rams will be the highest scoring team in week 13.
I'm going to go not, Kevin, but a 6-1 price here on the Rams being the highest scoring team playing the Jacksonville Jaguars does make a lot of sense. It's in LA. You're going to be in a dome. My only maybe a little slight issue with this is, again, you're going to run into these. They're really good teams. Is this one of the games, Kevin, where the Rams really step on the gas pedal and say, this is a game we finally have to get right here. Let's put up 40 points in this one, open the entire playbook, and get those good vibes together. It's a legitimate chance here. And I love these markets here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And by the way, also, tomorrow we spend some time on the weekly specials. Whoever was in the room, high fives all around, because there are some tremendous wagers that we'll get to later. But back to going in on the highest scoring team, the legitimate chance for me that the Rams get this done. But I'm looking in that same sort of ilk, Kevin, where it's a team that should be able to name their number so I can get a slightly better price. You see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting at 7-1, not going there. The Kansas City Chiefs, anytime, like the Kansas City Chiefs, Kevin, to be the highest scoring team of the week, plus 850. Most people, where do I sign up? That can do that against any team, anywhere, at any time. But look just below that. The Indianapolis Colts here playing the Houston Texans in that lowly defense on the road here. This screams one of those games for me, Kevin, where you just hand it off to Jonathan Taylor. If you're sitting back, you know, you got your pizza, you got a nice little cocktail on Sunday, say, let's watch some of these games unfold, and the red zone pops up. No surprise. Hey, Jonathan Taylor just went 75 yards to keep you updated on this game. You know they break in, Kevin. Like, why would they break into this game where Indianapolis is on their own 30-yard line here? You know what's coming next, a big play. I look for the Indianapolis Colts to run up the score on the Houston Texans in this game. I'm going to take a plus 850 price here on the Indianapolis Colts for me, Kevin, to be the highest scoring team of the week.
It's not a bad look. Really, Donnie, the only counter or caution would basically be, do they need to be the highest scoring team? But I think having Tyrod back out there helps. We saw these teams play. I believe you were involved in the game on a Colts team total. The game was over in, I don't know, the first 5 minutes of the game. Eventually got there to that 31 mark. The Texans put up 3 points in the game. Tyrod can give you 17, and that might be enough to let the Colts say, all right, we need to get, you know, 35 or better. There are two teams, Donnie, that really stand out. And one of them is the Los Angeles Rams here because, listen, they do need it. They really, really do. I'm heartbroken that Odell scored last week simply because then there would be no doubt in my mind he would have scored this week here against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I know the Jags have been playing better, Donnie, but it is still the Jaguars. And there is still some vulnerability there for that football team, and I think the Rams will get after it. But the other I have to bring up, Donnie, is the Philadelphia Eagles, because we try and look for those big prices, and it's 15-1. And I know they're coming off a game where they scored 7 against the New York Giants, and I understand that. And maybe Jalen Hurts is a little hobbled coming into the game. But, Donnie, do we think the Jets' defense is fixed? I don't. And again, if we think that Tyrod was the cure-all and playing two of the week before that and they're good to go, then, all right, this is not going to work out here. But, Donnie, that defense can still be taken advantage of by an Eagles ground attack. We have seen them hang 40 on teams and get out of the gates hot. And I think when you talk about big prices, if that Jets defense is still vulnerable, 15-1 on the birds is not a bad look.
No, it's not a bad look, and you're right, because, you know, sometimes we take a look and say, well, the Philadelphia Eagles, how are they going to score? They're not high octane. They weren't high octane when they were dropping 25, 35, and 40 points before that. You think they would get back to it, and maybe the way to attack the Jets is through their terrible secondary, and maybe Jalen Hurts hears the cat calls hand. Well, maybe he's not a franchise quarterback and says, you know what, this is one of those games where before the bye week, I got to leave a good taste in the mouth of Philadelphia fans here as opposed to, you know, something that's not going to work out. So I do think he's going to be very good rushing and running in this game, running himself and also the rushing of the Eagles as a team. It is a decent look there because you're right. Anytime you're lining up against a bad team, which is why we brought up the Rams, who they're going up against, Jacksonville, which is why I brought up the Indianapolis Colts going against the Houston Texans. You always want to start and say, hey, where are the bad teams that we can pick on here? And this certainly would be one of them.
Now, to look at the lowest scoring team, we got some interesting information. And by the way, for those that are, you know, looking along on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the lowest scoring team is kind of weird. It's there. You have to click on it, activate the drop-down menu. It looks hidden, but it is there for the people. Now, one team, Donnie, yesterday, we had the New York Giants check in with information that Mike Glennon was set to be the quarterback. And somewhere along those 24 to 48 hours, Daniel Jones like, I think I'm fine. I think I can play. Whether it's Mike Glennon or an injured Daniel Jones against the Dolphins defense, they're going to be an interesting option, Donnie, at plus 850, hot or not, the Giants to be the lowest scoring team.
I'm going to go not here, but if the people don't understand how this show actually works, what Kevin just explained was not actually for you people listening where you can go find it. He was just putting a reminder up saying, I'm not so sure Donnie's scrolling along and he's not going to be able to hit the drop down. Trust me, people, I found this drop down. So that was a veiled shot here from Kevin across the bow to myself. But let's get into some of this and what makes a lot of sense. The Giants, yes, to be the lowest scoring team makes a lot of sense. Now, also, when I look at markets, Kevin, I think you agree. This one is the most fascinating because you're getting really bad football teams. And typically when you get bad football teams, like, oh, what are they, plus 110 to be the lowest scoring team of the week? You are looking at prices close to 10 to 1 across the board for the bad football teams. The Jaguars, the Texans, and the Giants, 850, 850, and 850. If you put down 25 bucks on each one of those and one comes in, that is a massive score here. But I'm going to slide that needle down a little bit more. And this is what, hey, look, when we talk about the Buffalo Bills for myself, my love for that city, I think they're going to do well. They got an MVP candidate here, and as well as a chance to win a Super Bowl. It's the exact opposite when I look at Detroit, but I still have the same amount of love for Detroit because they can pay my bills just the same way the Buffalo Bills can by winning. Every time they pop up, it's legitimate. They are 12 to 1 this weekend to be the lowest scoring team. You say, hey, Don, they're playing Minnesota. They're in a dome. They should be able to score. If DeAndre Swift doesn't play in this game, which looks like he probably won't, where are the points coming from? What is a – like, man, Jared Goff played really well. They got 13 points. That's what it sounds like here. I'm going to continue to beat on the drum for the Detroit Lions that are going to continuously, Kevin, cash us tickets throughout the rest of the regular season. I'll go 12-1 on Detroit being the lowest scoring team of the week.
It's a great look. I have no idea like, they shouldn't be with longer odds than the Denver Broncos. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think you can really justify that when it's all said and done. I do think the New York Giants make some sense here because this Dolphins defense is playing really, really good football. To mention, Donnie, a deeper shot on the board, though, Pittsburgh Steelers 18-1? Is that ridiculous here? I mean, the Baltimore Ravens defense is playing pretty solid over the last couple of weeks now. We saw them hold the Cleveland Browns in check, and you might say to yourselves, well, that's an injured Baker Mayfield and a broken offense. What are the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in, Donnie? A game where they put up 10 against the Cincinnati Bengals, and seven of those came in the final 3 minutes of the game with a garbage time, here you go, touchdown. Especially, really, the Steelers 18-1 price is very live if the Baltimore offense, Donnie, continues to struggle. And there isn't kind of a, oh, by the way, here you go for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I look at an 18-1 number on Big Ben, and I think there's some real value on that number.
No, I like where you're going here, too, because when you try to equate both of the markets, right, the highest scoring team to the lowest scoring team, it seems like, Kevin, like the highest scoring team can really pop out at any time. Like, oh, you know what? I could see where they got there, whether it's in Eagles or, you know, Cincinnati Bengals. But when you take a look at the bottom end of it, because the talent isn't there. So you figure that these teams really, like, you would be surprised. Like, hey, Detroit scored 35 points on Minnesota. Like, that would be shocking at that point. But at the same time, I love all these prices. They are massive numbers out here for really bad football teams to not score points where, Kevin, you don't have to say, well, I can only take one or two swings because it's plus 110, plus 150, plus 210 here. You have 10-1 to 15-1 prices for legitimate cases to be made that these teams aren't going to score very many points this weekend.
Now, I want to talk about some of the Week 13 specials that are already listed. And I want to talk about a big price on a returning top star, and that is Kyler Murray. There is a match special here on Kyler Murray to record 325 passing plus rushing yards against the Chicago Bears. The payout, Donnie, for that is plus 550. This not only gives us an opportunity to talk about how live that might be, but really what the expectations are for Kyler Murray in his return. The last time he played football, it was October.
And you're right, Kevin. You hit the nail on the head here because, and also, you have to see what the words coming out of the organization are, from the head coach to the trainers to Kyler Murray himself. And it was kind of interesting because when he went down with the injury, it's like, ah, you know, okay, twisted his ankle. He'll probably be back in next week, but if not, he'll be back in the following week. This has really lingered because it didn't look like it was that devastating. You know, when Saquon Barkley got injured this year with his ankle, they took his sock off. It looked like he had a tennis ball around it. Like, whoa, that's going to take some time. You didn't really get the feeling that this was going to, but also you have to keep in mind the way Kyler Murray plays. He's buying time in the pocket. He's being an avid rusher out of the pocket when he's rushed, but also taking a look at now 325 passing and rushing yards combined. It sounds doable, Kevin, but I already talked about a topic earlier today on the show. I need to see it first. I can't have Kyler Murray playing in this game, and he's on a little bit of restrictions here. And also, as I said, what's coming out of the Arizona, you know, front office here? Hey, we expect him to play. He should play this weekend. That leaves a lot to be desired. It's the same way if you take a look at Ezekiel Elliott prop bet tonight. You know he's not healthy here, but he's going to say, like, hey, I'll be in there, and I'll be fine as long as I'm playing. That's all good. You saw the last game there. He wasn't right. I need to see Kyler Murray right, but at the same time, Kevin, if he is right, that's a plus 550 price. Probably for me, not dipping my toes in the water for this one here. I'll watch it, but certainly have my eye on it, no doubt.
But we also talked, Donnie, about kind of talking through what really makes sense and what you're really betting on. I asked you to give me who are the best rushing quarterbacks in the NFL. Lamar, obviously. Jalen Hurts wouldn't be far behind. Maybe even a Josh Allen would enter that conversation as well.
Yep.
And I'm sure a lot of people would mention a Kyler Murray. But it's not been Kyler so far this season, at least not to the other guys we're talking about here. Because, Donnie, I look at this market, and again, we talk what really makes sense. Kyler has been able to give you 325 passing plus rushing twice. There was a game where he threw for 400 yards, and there was a game he threw for 316 yards. Donnie, if he doesn't throw for 300 yards, I don't think you're going to be able to cash this ticket. Lamar can give you 100 on the ground. Jalen can give you 100 on the ground. Kyler hasn't given you 40 rushing yards yet this season, and that's when he was healthy, by the way. In fact, Donnie, over his last four games that he put out overall, he only gave you 1 yard, 6 yards, 10 yards, and 21 yards, and now he's coming off of injury here. If that number is plus 550, I'd be interested in what the payout is, Donnie, just for him to throw for 300 yards. You might get a bigger price, and it might be a necessary number for you to really bring home that number.
No, you're right, and to keep it quick, maybe you like this game a little bit better if it's in a dome in Arizona because you're going to the windy city of Chicago, 44 degrees at kickoff, Kevin, 15-mile-an-hour winds, and some rain in the forecast. That might impact that bet.
Yeah, also, maybe a Kyler plus Justin Fields prop if Fields is back under center for the Chicago Bears. We'll close out hour one with some more match specials next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number one here, Donnie, looking for some of these week specials for week 13. And there are a lot of good options. You can let the people know some of your favorites, but the one that jumps out to me right away, sometimes too good to be true, too good to be true.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor to have 100 combined rushing and receiving yards and to score a touchdown this week pays out at plus 160, that's as hot can be, DRS.
I mean, it absolutely is so hot here. And I guess, like, we look at these, right? Like, this is too easy to be true. So doesn't this have the feel? And I'm not jinxing anything, but I am actually jinxing it here. You know, Jonathan Taylor, big first quarter, 45 yards on the ground. you know, heads to the blue tent here, and this can't be true. Or he rips off a 70-yard touchdown run in the first quarter, heads to the blue tent because something's wrong with his hamstring. This is as good as it gets here. And you're right, Kevin. There are a slew of Week 13 specials that make so much sense. Like Joe Mixon, I think he's going to have a monster week this week. You pair him up with Austin Eckler, 200-plus rushing yards for a plus 175. You also take a look at some other things. You saw Leonard Fournette last week score four touchdowns here, including one in the air and three on the ground. So what do they do? Come right back and say, you want that price again? Plus 800. There are some really good ones to talk about, and certainly we'll hit those tomorrow. James Conner, David Montgomery, over 150 yards rushing combined. Sign me up for these. I'm excited for Week 13 NFL, Kevin.
Let me just run this back once again on this Jonathan Taylor number, Donnie. Yeah. Nine consecutive weeks he has scored a touchdown, and last week he had an eight-week run of 100-plus scrimmage yards snapped, finishing with 97. And that was against the Bucs in a shootout. And now he plays the Texans, who he had 145 rushing yards against already. Plus 160. It is a trap, but I'll be there. I know that for sure. It's too good to be true. We'll find out. Hour number two, though, around the corner. We started off with some NBA talk, reset the Eastern Conference with you on the early line.
It's simple, really. Listen.
Win.
Don't listen.
Lose.
I mean, duh. This is the home of the winning edge. You're listening.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.